My name is Pastor Brandon, and it is just our joy that you would join us today. And so thank you so much for that. And for those of you who have only been with us for like the past couple of months, I'm really excited to share with you that we actually are going to be jumping back into a series that we began back in the third quarter of this last year next week. And so we're going to be jumping back into walking through the book of Matthew, calling it King Jesus. And I'll be explaining to you more about how we're going through that book of the Bible. But I just want to encourage you that if you have not been with us, just get ready, man. It is just awesome. I cannot wait to jump into that with you. Make sure you bring your Bibles and your journals. And if you don't have a journal, you've got a free one waiting for you at the Welcome Center. We would love to just give you that and just jumping back into God's Word together, okay? And so we're going to do that coming next week. But this week, we're going to finish up a series that we have entitled Best Year Ever. Best Year Ever. And what we've been talking about throughout this series is that every time we kind of turn the page and jump into a new year, a lot of us still make these New Year's resolutions, these ideas, these things that we want to do, and we just kind of jump into them, hoping for the best, right? And statistics say that I think it's something around 80-something percent of New Year's resolutions don't make it to the end of the first week. Because there's these great ideas, but it's really hard to follow through with a lot of those. And then those that do survive, I think it's 60-something percent of those don't make it to week two. And now here we are at the end of week three. How's that going? You know, it's gotten so tickled to see how many people will kind of snap at you. You know, if you're having conversation, they go, "Don't bother. Don't worry. Don't take it too personal. I'm on a diet. I've got a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 10,000 pounds by 2 weeks. It's going to be fine, right?" How you doing? Well, that's why I snapped at you. It's not going so well, right? And we've got all of those, right? We have all these different things we want to do. But the problem is that it's hard. You know, doing something different is hard. And what I wanted to do this year, what we want to do, is just kind of change things up a little bit and say, truly, if you're taking notes, that this year will be your best year if it's your best year spiritually. And what we've been saying every week is this going to be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually? And just to kind of, if you're taking analog notes, circle that until you wear through the paper there. Because the reality is that God does have a big idea for you. He really does want you to have the best year ever, but it's only going to happen if it's your best year spiritually. And that's important, and that also is common sense, because for most of us, our lives are more spiritual than we can imagine. Now, they're not only spiritual, but they are more spiritual than we realize. And so it just makes sense that if we attended to the most spiritual part of our lives and like what really encompasses all of our life, everything is just going to get better. So you plus Jesus is always better. And so it's the idea that I'm going to get God involved more in my life and everything going on in my life. And the byproduct of that is everything is going to get better. And we said that this is actually what Jesus said when he said this. He called to his disciples one day, or people that he wanted to be disciples, and he said, "I want you to come and follow me, and I'm going to show you how to do something amazing, how to make a difference with your life, how to fish for people, how to take what you're already doing and make it life-giving and make a difference with your life." And we really have grabbed onto this so much at Real Life Church that kind of that's our mission statement as a church, and that is that at Real Life Church, we feel like we exist to make disciples the Jesus way by knowing God, growing in freedom, and sharing Christ with everyone. And it's like that God wants to do that in my life and in your life. But there's a challenge that we've been talking about throughout the past couple of weeks, and that is that as a church, no matter how much I wish we could, we can't make you know God. Like, we can't make you grow in freedom, and we can't just automatically do that. Like, I wish that church was like a spa. You just walk in and just go, "Do it. Do the works. Here I am. Give me the face mask thing. Massage me. You know, mess with my toes. Whatever it is you do, just do the thing, right?" But that's not how church works. The way church works would be like a spa, except it's a self-serve spa. It's like, here's all the things. Go have fun. You know, go do the things, right? That's more of what church is. Because what Jesus was actually saying is he said, I want to do something if you follow me, and I want to show you more freedom than you can imagine, and I want you to make a difference with your life. But here's the one thing. Like, God gives us the dignity to have like some skin in the game, and that is we have to come to him. Like, we have a role to play in this. And then when we come, he's the one that does the miracle, right? Like, he's the one who changes us and grows us and all the wonderful things. But our role is to then go with this process and then allow God to do these things in our life. And so what we have been saying is that this will be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. And there's no way of knowing, like, what your next best spiritual step is. Like, I don't know what your next step is. So as a church, what we want to do is we want to rally together and give you some opportunities and then pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see what your next step is and then to take that next step together. And so what we said is that we have some primary ways that we want to know God and grow in freedom and share Christ. And primarily this year, we said in the first week, is that our rally cry is going to be to pray first. Like, whatever we do, we want to pray first and have a prayer culture at our church. We've already, you know, talked about over the past couple of years about the importance of reading God's word, and we're going to continue to do that. And if you're not already reading God's word with us, then you can text RLC Bible to 94,000, and we'll send you a text message every day reminding you to read the Bible. But then also adding to that this year, the opportunity to pray and let God speak into your life and share what's going on in your life with him. And you can already see it, our life group wall preview day. We have prayer life groups and different things that's going on. And starting this Tuesday, we're going to have a Tuesday night. We're going to have a time of prayer at RLC. If you want to come and join us and just have a space just to pray and let God do what he wants to do in your life. But one of the ways we want to help you know God more this year is to encourage you to read God's word and then to pray and talk to him. That's how we're going to know God more. But then last week we said the way we're going to grow in our freedom is that this year we want to grow deep and let God determine how high. Like, for 1 year, we're not going to focus on how big and how high and how tall and how wide and all those. All that is wonderful, and there's a place for all of that. But what if for 1 year we focused on growing our roots deep and growing down into God's presence and getting to know him more and taking that next step with him? And this would be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. And if you look on the back of your message notes, there's a QR code there, and you can go to a place on our website. It's just literally a page called Next Steps, and it's all the different things we talked about last week on different ways that you can take a next step in your walk with God. Because I don't know what your next step, your best next step is, but we've got them for you. So, for instance, you may need to, before you leave today, you may need to stop by the Welcome Center and sign up for RLC Connect, which is happening tonight, and we'd love for you to be there. It's free food, free childcare. Here, kind of everything we've been talking about, we'll tell you about it again and how you can get connected. You're not allowed to show up unless you sign up. That is kind of a joke. Kind of not, it's fine. But we would love for you to be there. We would love for you to be there. Well, we gotta know how much food and how much childcare. So we want you there. We just want to know you're coming, okay? So make sure you do that. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe you need to sign up for RLCC. All of that is right there because we want to help you. Like, we can't grow you deep. We can't. But we can provide you resources so that we together can grow deeper in our walk with God together, because this will be your best year ever. If it's your best year. Thank you. Yes, it took 3 weeks, but we're getting there. It's awesome. It's great. All right, so here's the thing. We're going to know God by reading God's word and prayer. We're going to grow in freedom by a plethora. There's your word of the week. Plethora of things that we've got for you. But then number three is this, and this is what I want to kind of think a little bit differently about today, and that is that this year, I will be a spiritual contributor, not just a consumer, and that's going to help me to share Christ with everyone. I'm going to share Christ with everyone. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to focus this year on being a spiritual contributor and not just a spiritual consumer. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I think that we live in this wonderful American culture that we have. And yes, there's negative things to it, but man, there's so many positives. If you don't agree with that, go on a missions trip sometime. And then you're going to kiss the ground when you get back in the United States, because God has blessed us so very much with all the wonderful things that he has given us. But at the same time, if it's not used in the right way, it can become a negative thing for so many of us. And so this consumeristic culture we have is wonderful when it's a resource and it doesn't become our entitlement and our identity. Like, for instance, there's wonderful things about our culture that is so amazing, and so much of it gears toward making our lives easier, you know, giving us opportunities to just be blessed. I mean, like I was thinking about it earlier today, and there's so many things that has made life so much easier that just wasn't around when I was a kid. Like think about the idea of, like, social media. Like, if I wanted to see what was going on with somebody, I had to go see them. Now I just pull up my phone and I know more than I ever wanted to know about them, right? It's right there. All the good, bad, the ugly, and whatever's in between. It's right there. And it's awesome. But then also with social media, like they make millions of dollars for algorithms to keep us consuming the product. You know, then we also have all of these other things such as like streaming services. Do you know I used to have to wait, you know, a whole year before I could watch my next favorite TV show? And now they're getting a little bit smarter and they're making you wait 1 week at a time. But for the most part, you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want it. It's awesome. But the thing is that the problem is that creates this consumeristic mentality, which is good unless it becomes too far and a bad thing. Can I tell you that for my introverted heart, the delivery thing that we got going on now, where I don't ever have to see a human being, I can have them bring my groceries to my car. That should be a spiritual gift. That's amazing. It's awesome. They bring it to my car. They will bring me whatever restaurant I'm willing to pay for to my front door. Now, it takes them 3 forevers, but I still don't have to get out of my car. If you do that, I'm sorry. I love you. You do take forever, but it's awesome. And it's awesome. It's right there. It's whatever you want. It is there, and it's there. You know, Amazon, now, they don't do it to my house anymore. Anybody else want to sing the blues? But it used to be, I could order anything from anywhere in 48 hours. It is at my front door. That is amazing. I used to actually have to go to the store to get whatever it is I wanted. It is amazing that the convenience that happens, but here's the problem. The problem is if we're not careful, it goes from being a resource to an entitlement, and we get spoiled. And we bring it into every other area of our life, and we bring it into every other facet of our life. And here's the problem is when you're used to having your way when you want it, how you want it, or I'll take my business elsewhere, the problem is when we bring that into the church. And we don't mean to, but we start treating the church, we start treating God like he's a product to be consumed instead of a relationship to be honored. And the problem is now we can pull up our favorite preachers on YouTube and our favorite songs out there. And so instead of seeing God as a relationship, he becomes a consumeristic product. And if I don't like my preacher, then I just won't go to church anymore because I can get the best that's out there over here. And we start to lose that relationship aspect of it. And then we start to think of God as a consumeristic product because we serve God because he meets our needs. Like, why do I love God? Because I pray and he answers my prayer. Like, that's awesome, but I don't serve God because of what he can do for me. I serve God because of what he's already done for me. And because now my name is written in heaven and now I get to spend eternity with him. And if he never answers another prayer, I'm already so excited because God is not a product to be consumed. He is a king to be served. And when we serve him, that we then know what to come on, go ahead and clap, it's good. Good. I'm an amen myself. If you don't, man, this is good stuff. I'm on a journey. I'm having to remind myself every day it's true because we have this constant pull, don't we, of saying, man, just treat God like he's a product. And here's the worst thing. We treat church like it's a product to be consumed. We come to church and we have a weekly concert. And if they sing the right songs, and if the preacher's really funny, we say we've been to church. When's the last time we encountered God's presence? And all the songs were messed up, and I didn't hit a home run that day, but we still left saying it was a good time because God was there. That's what I'm so excited about that we could do. What if, as a church community, we focus less on the product and more on the one who made all of us, and we start doing life together? And here's the thing, is that the mission of the church is to preach the gospel, but the problem is that we're not preaching the gospel, we're critiquing the event. And so what if we started to have this environment where we become the body of Christ, and then we realize that the truth of the matter is that sharing Christ is always supposed to be a team thing. Like, we are supposed to be the body of Christ reaching out to the community. Like, the actual Greek word for making you fishers of men was a plural word that was, he was saying, I'm going to make you guys fishers of men. That it was a team that was reaching out to the world around them. And that's the thing that I want us to start thinking about at Real Life Church is what would it look like for 1 year, just 1 year? And I'm being like ridiculous. I'm saying, but what if next year we became consumers again, you know, when it comes to church? Next year, 2024, the year of selfishness, right? Yay, you know. But for 2023, we became contributors and not consumers. And what if that's the missing link for so many of us? Because the idea is just like in every other environment where we have this team aspect, you know, it's the idea of like when you play sports, like you're on this team. And what you do is you go and you run the play and then you go back to the huddle and you're like, okay, guys, what worked? What didn't work? You forgot to block. You forgot to do this. You know, and you kind of do this whole thing together and you figure it out together. And it's not just in sports, but if you've ever been part of like a play or anything like that, you know why they have that long intermission in the middle? It's not just so that you can go pee, but it's also the people that are in the play going, going, hey, look, okay, I forgot all my lines. Can y'all remind me real fast? Hey, what are we doing? It's where we, as a team, we do the thing, and then we come back and we huddle up and we figure it out. But the problem is, as Christians, for so long, we've been trying to do a team thing all by ourselves. And so what we're doing is we're trying to reach the lost, and we're trying to spread the gospel to our friends and our neighbors. But because we live on this island of Christian consumerism, and all that God is a product for us, and we don't trust one another, and we live on that island, we're trying to reach the lost. But at the same time, that we feel like we're pulling all by ourselves, and it gets hard and it gets lonely. And you know what many of us do? We let go of the rope and we just quit trying. And we just say, Pastor, I would love to share Christ, but I'm just trying to keep my head above water. What if it's because, yes, the enemy is attacking you, and yes, there are spiritual next steps you need to make, but what if it's also because we were never supposed to look like that? We're supposed to look like that. We're together. We are doing life together, and together we are sharing Christ with one another. And what I want to do is I want to kind of thread this needle a little bit, because on one end, yes, of course, the church is supposed to be positioned in a way that we're spreading the gospel to everyone. Yes, absolutely. But also, we're supposed to be a spiritual community and a family that is growing together and doing life together. And it's out of that healthy place that we springboard into the world and we spread the gospel with one another. And we talk through these things and we figure it out together. And what would it look like for 1 year if you had the best year of your life because it was your best year spiritually? And we got to know God more. We started growing deeper in freedom, and we shared Christ by first being a spiritual community that I want to be a part of, and then we grow from there. You know how Jesus said one time, he said, you know how they're going to know that you're mine? Do you know the greatest witnessing example you're going to have? You know how they're going to know that you're mine? It's by how you love one another. What would it be if our number one tool of evangelism is they saw the love of Christ through us to one another? And that compelled people so much that when they came into church, they didn't care about all the other things, but they said, look at how they love each other. Look at how much space they give for one another. Look, when they smile at each other, I think they mean it. What is it? What is it about you? I hadn't smiled at somebody a minute in years. This was not us. It's what we share in common, and that is Jesus. Come and find out who he is. What would it look like if we shared Christ by loving one another and let that love spill over into the world around us? Well, what does that look like? Well, the Bible actually tells us in James chapter 5, the Bible shows us where James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he was one of the first leaders of the early church, and he led the church in Jerusalem, and he ends up writing a letter. It's one of the first letters written in the New Testament, and he's writing to the Christians, and he's saying, this is what the Christ life looks like, especially in the context of the Christian community. And then he ends the last part of saying, this is what we're aiming at. And then he has the ultimate goal. So I want us to read this together and then break it down really quickly of what does it look like for this year to be a spiritual contributor and not a consumer, and to share Christ by being healthy as a body and then springboarding out into the world around us. He said this, he said, if any of you are suffering hardships, you should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church and they'll pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well, or make you well. And you, and if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven and confess those sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human just as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that it would not, that the rain, that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness, the forgiveness of many sins. And so what he just said was, is this is what a Christ-following community looks like, and then this is what we do. And when I want to ask you this question, what would it look like if for 1 year, we focused on, maybe this is your next step, maybe it's not. Maybe you're already rocking it out in this area. And if so, then you get like the best amens ever, because you know the excitement that happens when the church starts to be the church and we as a church community reach out into our community. And if this is where you're already winning, great. But if this is where you're struggling, what would it look like if for 1 year We had our best year ever because it was our best year spiritually, and we focused on saying, this year, I'm going to be a spiritual contributor and not just a consumer. I'm not going to let what happens everywhere else in the world come between me and Jesus and come between me and my church family. What I want to do is I want to break down the four things very quickly about what James said and what a consumer looks like and what a contributor looks like, and then we're going to pray together. Man, we're just going to just dedicate this year to the Lord. The first thing that we learn from reading this is that as we follow Jesus and grow deeper, we will contribute by taking personal responsibility. What it looks like in a Christ-honoring community is that we have the privilege and the opportunity to take personal responsibility for my personal walk with the Lord. Now, and not in every environment do we have that opportunity. There are some environments where we don't have opportunities. But the great thing about the kingdom of God is he gives us the dignity of being able to grow in our relationship with him. He said it like this. He said, are any of you suffering hardships? You can pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Maybe just by yourself. But you have the opportunity if you would like to. And here's the great thing that I love about God is that God is so amazing and he's so awesome that the very first thing that we have an opportunity to do is that we have the opportunity to pray and that we have the opportunity that we can worship. Do you know that there are people who think that the only way that they can get a prayer through to God is they have to go to somebody else? Now, obviously, we're going to talk about it in a second. It's wonderful to have somebody else to pray with you, but it's not something that you have to realize that not only can you do that, but you have the opportunity to go before God yourself and you go pray. And you have the opportunity to do the work of getting into a place with God and saying, God, I want to grow in my relationship with you. And what I love about this whole idea is that a consumer says, grow me. Help me out. Help me out. But a contributor says, teach me to grow myself. Teach me so that I can grow. And it's the difference between saying, help me out and help me up. Now, I know how that works a lot of times in different environments because once again, when it's in an unhealthy place, we live in this consumeristic world where the idea, you know, as I said before, is we kind of think of church as like a spa. You know, it's like, hey, just come do the thing. I'm here. You know, that's all I was expected of me is to show up. You do the things. But the reality is you're not going to like church that much if that's all you ever do. But rather, you know what's amazing is when you don't come here to be a spectator, you come here to learn and to grow and to develop in your relationship with God. And once you start to take ownership of your walk with God, it's amazing. All of a sudden, everything becomes important. Everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes wonderful because now my relationship with God is not based on how awesome you are. And you're already super awesome. My relationship with God is based on the time that I have spent with him. And so it's that idea of it doesn't matter if the worship team sings my favorite song or if I don't know any of the songs. You know why? Because I brought my praise with me. I'd already been worshiping all week long, and so this is just my chance to join in with them. Can I tell you, they've sang a couple of songs before that were amazing, but I didn't know them. And so I'm just kind of just praising the Lord anyway and just kind of making up my own words. And by the time I got halfway through it, I had to write it down because now it's going to be my new favorite song. But I didn't get mad at them. You know why? Because I already brought my worship with me because I'm growing myself in my relationship with God, and I'm learning what it is to know him more. Now, I dream of a church one day when we didn't have to come to church to get excited about God, but we were excited before we got here because we're learning and we're growing and we're developing. And that's the goal of what we're here to do. And then what would it look like as a church if we developed this relationship where, man, I didn't come here to consume. I came here to be a part because when I leave out of here, I'm going to go spread the gospel to everyone I meet. And I can't wait. So, Pastor, give me something else I can learn with. Give me somewhere else I can grow. Let me write this down. Let me do this, you know, because I'm going to go and I'm going to be a difference maker this week. And this is not where I go to find it. This is where I go to jump off and jump into the world. And the wonderful thing is that this will be the best year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. And it'll be your best year if you decide that this year I'm going to be a contributor and I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow and I'm going to let God use me in everything that I do. But now there's the second thing. The first thing, as he said, is God gives us the dignity of an opportunity to grow ourselves and our relationship with God. But then the second part is that as we follow Jesus and grow deeper, we will contribute by living to be part of a team. There's the other side of that. And that is, number one, is yes, we take personal responsibility, but then also there's nothing wrong with somebody else praying with you as well. Like, that's where we do this thing together. Because as I become independent in my relationship with God and you become independent in your relationship with God, we come together and we become interdependent. We begin to celebrate one another and serve one another in a healthy way. And as we begin to do that, we begin to learn the wonderful excitement of realizing that sharing Christ is a team thing. And I have the opportunity to be part of that team. He said at first, he said, if you've got this issue, you can pray. If you're happy, you can sing songs. But then he says, but then sometimes, man, are you sick? Well, at this point, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray for you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. In other words, he's saying, first of all, you have this opportunity to pray. But yeah, there are some things that are hard and they're difficult. And there are some areas that you're going to need to bring people alongside you. Absolutely, bring the church around you and let's pray. And some people, man, they've got the gift. They're going to be able to pray for you and you're going to experience supernatural healing. Others, you're going to be able to experience spiritual healing as you walk with other people together. But the thing is that's amazing is when Jesus went and talked to these guys, he was talking to a bunch of fishermen. And he said, let me take what you're already doing and show you how to make it life-giving. Let me take what you already know and help you make a difference with it. And so he uses the phrase fishers of men because they already understood that. Do you know what I'm convinced of is the reason why God gave all of us gifts, talents, abilities, and opportunities is so that we could show the glory of God through what he has done in our life. And that means, yes, in the world, you know, doing the things he's called us to do. But also when we come into the church world and we start to serve with one another and I'm good at something you're not good at, you're good at something I'm not good at, and when we come together and we serve together, that's where we start to grow and mature in our relationship with God. And it's not about a big I or a little you or none of that kind of stuff, but rather we come together and let God's glory shine through all of us serving together and the honor of being part of a team. And so as what it looks like is the consumer says, what's in it for me? We have an opportunity to serve around here, but what's in it for me? A contributor says, how can I serve? What can I do? How can I take what God's given me to make a difference? And can I tell you that as a church, I feel like that we are one of the people, one of the groups of people, the Big C Church, that God has called to reinvest this honor of serving into our world today. I don't know where it went. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened at all. But can I tell you that I hear more and more and more when I talk to other pastor friends of mine and we talk about the idea of serving one another and they say, no, nobody wants to serve anymore. People just want to come and sit and be blessed. Well, here's the thing. I don't serve so I can get a blessing. I serve because I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I serve because God has already blessed me so very much. And is there an unhealthy level to that? Absolutely. But I think that we're not even close to that a lot of times. And so the idea is I don't want to serve because I'm going to get something. I serve because of what I've already received from the Lord. Jesus actually said this one time. He was using this parable. And he said, when you do this for the least of these, you're doing it for me. You know who the most blessed people in our church are? It's the people you're never going to see. It's the people who serve in our kids' life area. It's the people who clean the toilets. It's the people who serve in these other capacities. Those are the heroes here. And it's because they're not doing it for any of us. They're doing it because they love Jesus. And they say, man, where can I serve? What can I do? Because I'm part of something bigger than me. And when we do that and we connect with that, we start connecting to the power of God and the church community. And we start to realize there's no such thing as a small job in God's kingdom. But everything has an opportunity to be a blessing to the Lord. Because can I be honest with you? I don't preach up here to make any of y'all happy. I hope it does. I do it because I'm in love with Jesus. And this is the only thing that I know how to do to thank him back. And so when I get up here every week, I say, Jesus, this is my gift to you this week. And that's made me so much more happy than anything else. I used to look around this room and think, okay, are they liking it? Did they smile or what? I don't know. Can I tell you, I don't do that anymore because I can't make all y'all happy, but I can make Jesus happy. And so I just live to serve him and I'm a lot happier that way. What would it look like in your life if you did that as well? If you said, you know what, I can't do everything, but where can I plug in? Put me in, coach, because this year I want to be a spiritual contributor, not just a spiritual consumer. And when I do that, I start to connect to this team called the body of Christ, and I start to feel that momentum in my life to realize what God is doing in me. And I'm going to tell you something. This will be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. And how are we going to do that? Man, we're going to know God more through prayer and through reading his word. We're going to grow deep, and we're not going to worry about how high. And then we're going to share Christ by having a strong spiritual community that then together as a team, we reach out into the world all around us. And we're going to do that, number one, by taking on our own personal responsibility to grow and develop in our relationship with God. And then number two is that we're not just going to be a consumer and say, what's in it for me? But rather, man, I am going to serve others in my life and realize that I'm living to be part of a team. Number three is this, as he said, that by following Jesus, we grow deep and we will contribute by working through hard places with others, by working through hard, difficult places with others. This is so important because as we say here all the time, is that everyone has a private battle that nobody else knows about. That's everybody. That's me. That's you. That's your neighbor. Not your neighbor. They're perfect. They're just fine. It's fine. But everybody else, the one on your other side that you've been ignoring the entire service, that one, that's the one that's got the private battle. And we all know what it is. It's not so private. It's a joke, all right? Sorry. It's a joke. But here's the thing. We all have these battles. You know what's amazing? There's a lot of environments I can go into that can't do anything for me with that. But the church can. Because we are a place where we're supposed to be able to come together and do life together. God's word said it like this. He says, actually, once you come together, man, you can confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human just as we are. Yet when he prayed, when he got God involved in what was going on, something amazing happened. And as we've been saying for the past few weeks, we don't go to each other for forgiveness. That comes from Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to the Lord that you may be forgiven. However, because of what God wants to do in our life, often he will use one another to help us walk toward healing together, confessing your sins to each other and praying for each other so that you may be healed of these different things. And one of the things I've learned in my life is that there are certain areas in my life that I cannot experience freedom over until I start to walk with somebody else. Can God do it? Yes. Will he do it? Often no. Because he wants me to walk with somebody else, not just so that I can get free, but also on the other side so they get to have the blessing of walking with someone and finding freedom themselves. And one of the things that happens in the church is when we start to grow and start to get healthy and start to become contributors instead of consumers, we get so excited about life group launch days. You know, today is our first preview day. We've got another week of that and then launch. And then we have an opportunity to get in a group together because we go from looking to a product to consume to where I start to look for an area that I can minister. And that's what a consumer says is, I don't want to get involved with all those hard places. A contributor says, I don't want to miss this ministry. I don't want to miss this opportunity to minister to one another. Because here's the thing. Everybody needs to have at least one person in your life who couldn't care less and couldn't care more. What I mean by that is they couldn't care less that you're not perfect. They're not surprised. They're not offended. Of course. It's not a secret. I already kind of knew. But I also couldn't care more about wanting to help you find freedom. So I couldn't care less and I couldn't care more. Everybody needs at least one person in their life that when they're struggling, doesn't just say, hey, man, that stinks for you. But instead, they get up under you and they start to walk with you through whatever it is you're going through in your life. Everybody needs at least one person like that in their life. And everybody needs to have a place where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. I tried that joke again. It still didn't work. It's all right. It's fine. That makes me old. It's okay. But here's the thing. We need each other. But you know, we live in a world that is constantly wanting to con men, but don't want to walk with one another. And where should people find what authentic relationships look like? Please, Jesus, let them find it in the church. Where we start to say, this is what it looks like to get in the dirt and get in the mud together and help one another out. When I see you in the mud, I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm going to jump in there with you. And say, come on, man, let's get out of it together. That's what an authentic Christian community looks like. Jesus said this when he was talking about the story we call the Good Samaritan. The Bible said that there was a guy who had been robbed and left for dead. And while he was there, there were two religious people who walked by and said, no, I can't get involved. Finally, there was a third guy who was considered to be the worst person that could have come along. As a matter of fact, in Jesus' parable, they would have thought that was the guy who might have been in on it. You know, he wasn't the good guy. But rather, instead, what he did is he picked him up and he helped him and he helped him get the help that he needed. And he said that if there's anything else that this guy needs, but not get back, you charge it to my account. And I love how, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one time he was commenting on this and he said, everybody else said, what would happen to me if I got involved? He said, but really the Samaritan said, what happens to him if I don't get involved? Instead of looking at how I can consume and how I can get something out of it, how can I serve? How can I make a difference? And what would it look like in our church If this year we became a church full of contributors and not just consumers, and when it came time to sign up for a life group, we didn't go to a life group just because, but we went looking for ministry. Who can I stand with this semester? Who can I walk with this semester? Who can I get up under them and help them make it just a little bit further? Because I didn't come just to consume, and I'm going to do plenty of that, but I came to be part of something that's bigger than myself. And when we start to do that, man, we start realizing there's wind in our sails, and we start making a difference with our life. And now we're from a healthy place that we can jump into the world and make a difference and share Christ, because sharing Christ was always supposed to be a team thing. And we start to realize that this is so much bigger than just us. And so we get off of our island and we take that personal responsibility and we grow. And then we get on a team and start serving one another. We start walking with each other through hard places. And then the one other thing is that once we start to do that and we start to feel that momentum in our life, finally, it says that when we follow Jesus and grow deeper, we will contribute by giving the hope that I have received. That then I am in a healthy place that I can give the hope that I'm receiving all around me. Remember, Jesus said, you know how they're going to know that you're mine? You know how they're going to know? It's not by your slick presentations and all of your awesomeness, and that's that we need all of that, right? The number one way they're going to know is by how you love one another. How are we going to share Christ? First is through showing the world how we can fiercely love one another. And as I feel protected, and as I feel like someone's got my back, and as that iron starts sharpening that iron, and I start growing in my faith, and I start getting healthy, now I can't wait to start sharing the hope that God has put in me. Because God's word says this, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, the ones on the inside of the church, if someone among you wanders away from the truth that and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back from the wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. And what he's saying is that when you start to do these things, when you start taking personal responsibility and say, Pastor, teach me how to grow because I'm going to grow this year. And then not only that, but then I start getting on a team and I start seeing church as not a product to be consumed, but it's a family to be part of. And we start growing together. Man, I'm going to use my gifts, talents, and abilities. Put me in, coach. Where do you need me? I'm going to serve. I'm going to be part of this thing. And then I'm going to get involved in a life group, and I'm going to put my shoulder under somebody's arm, and I'm going to help them get down the road, and I'm going to be part of this, and I'm going to grow together. And they're going to do that same thing for me. And we're going to do this. Now I'm in a place where I'm ready to share my faith and my walk with God, because I've got some hope to give. Because now I'm walking in that freedom every day. And what that means is that a consumer says someone should do something. A contributor says, I'm honored to give the hope I have. I'm honored to give the hope I have. And the truth of it is that you have some hope to give. The thing is that we got to stop thinking that the hope that we have to give has got to be a big moment. Rather, it's a daily walk with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and then inviting other people to join in. That's what happened to me. I grew up in church all my life. I was there always. Man, I knew all about God, but I didn't know him at all. And there was a lady, 60s, in her 60s. She was widowed. She was taking care of her mom who had dementia. And you want to talk about two people that did not belong together. I mean, she and I had not one thing in common. The only thing we had in common is that we went to church together. And instead of saying, someone should do something about that young man who sits over there, and I was a musician, so I would go and I'd play drums, and I'd go and I'd sit down, and I wouldn't pay any attention to what else was going on in the service. And instead of her saying, somebody should reach that young man right there, you know what she did? And she said, I can't do everything. I can do something. And she started to invite me over to her house on Sunday afternoons. And she didn't have everything, but she could cook. And I was all about some cooking, right? And so she would feed me. She would give me a bottle of Dr. Pepper, and she had grandsons who loved to play pool, and out in her garage, she had a pool table, and she would say, son, go on out there and play pool. I'll be out there in a little while. And she'd go take care of her mom, and it would just be horrible, the things that she had to do, but she would do that, and I'd watch her do that, and I'd go out there and I'd play pool, and she couldn't play. She never once picked up a pool stick. Never once. But you know what she would do? Is while I played pool and drank my Dr. Pepper, she'd walk around that table, and she'd speak life to me. She would say, son, don't you dare give up. God's got a plan for your life. He's going to do something in you. There's something in you. You never need to doubt that God's got a plan for you. Come on, hit that ball again. I know you missed. Try it again. Try it again. You're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. God's got something to do in your life. She couldn't give me anything but time, attention, and love, and it changed my life. Because one day, just a few months later, she invited me to a church service. And where I wouldn't have gone with anybody else, I'd go. Her name was Sister Eloise Stewart. I went with her. And it was there that the first time I heard the gospel in a way that made sense. And I gave my life to Jesus, October 26, 1996. And it was because a lady who had nothing in common with me was willing to say, somebody should do something. I'm honored to give the hope that I have. Come play pool. And let's talk about how God's still got a plan for your life. What about you? What do you have to give? What is it that you can connect with? How can the church gather around you as a team and realize that that's what we're intended to do, is to do this thing called life as a team? And this will be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. And so we're not going to treat the body of Christ as a consumer product this year, but instead we're going to see as a contributor, I'm going to be part of this and do what I can. And so I'm going to take personal responsibility for my walk with God. And then you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to join a team and I'm going to start doing life together. I'm going to get in a life group with somebody and walk through those hard places. And then I don't have much. But you know what I do have? I have hope. And that's how I want to encourage you. What would it look like if you reached one person this year? You know how you're going to do that? Is first of all, if you've never done it before, you should attend RLC Foundations, because every week is important and every week is great. And it leads into week 4, where we actually talk about how to construct your personal testimony, how to share your faith with somebody as the story of what God is doing in your life. And then you know what you can then do? Is then you can come back to church and tell us how it went. Tell us what happened. You know what we're going to do? We're going to help you. We're going to worship with you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to get you back out in the game. And then you're going to live your faith out loud this year. You're going to say, you know what? I'm part of a Christian community and I love Jesus. Come go to church with me. Show us. Let me show you how we love one another, because that's how you're going to know the difference between us and a concert, is because of the love that you experience when you're with the body of Christ. And then tell us how it went. Because we're part of a team. And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to start to pray for that person. Pray for that opportunity. And I've seen it happen so much that when the time is right, God will open that door. And then because you've got a spiritual family that loves you and is cheering you on and is with you and all these things, man, you're going to get an opportunity to share your story. And your job is not to reach them. Your job is to be faithful and just to share that story. And then come and tell us how it went. Come and tell us, man, I went. I was so nervous. I was terrified. But I did it. I shared my story. I mean, we're going to celebrate together. We're going to say, come on, let's continue to worship God. Let's continue to love Jesus. And let's do this. And you know what's going to happen? Is it because you've been faithful and because you've been sharing Christ here and out there, you're going to have an opportunity to be able to invite them to give everything to Jesus yourself. You're going to get to do this. I dream of a church where all of the salvations that happen to our church don't happen in here. But they happen in your homes, in your workplaces, at Kroger, everywhere else. And then we bring those people into the kingdom of God. I dream of the day when people get saved and then they come to church and they see what the love of God is. I want them to get saved here too. Don't get me wrong. But I want us to be to where we as the church are so excited about our relationship with God that we meet as a team. We go out into the world and we get people saved wherever we go, because we have that hope that's in us. And what would it look like in your life this year? If you had the best year of your life spiritually, I think it would look like this, and that is that this year, you might be the miracle of hope that Christ is sending to someone else. That might be what God is wanting to do. I don't know what that is. And can I tell you that as a pastor, I walk a very fine line sometimes, because there's a part of me that always wants our church to be open and available and welcoming to people who are far from God. Always. I always want people to feel welcome here. I always want people to say, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you don't believe. Please come. Please come and enjoy the presence of God with us and enjoy the Christian community. I want that, and that's never going to stop. So I don't ever want you to think otherwise of that. But the other side of that that I hurt for is I hurt for something that I used to tell you that is wrong. And I want to repent before you right now. There was a time when I told you that I wanted us to strike a partnership. I was going to do what you didn't feel comfortable doing, and you could do what I couldn't do, and we'd get it together. And that's what I'd say is, I'd say, you know what, I have training, I've been doing this a long time, and I know how to share the gospel. So I'll do the gospel sharing, but I can't know all your friends. So let's strike a deal. You bring your friends, and I'll preach to them. That sounds good. I'm so sorry, because that's so horrible. I meant well, okay? And I think if you've been around RLC very long, you know how I meant it. I meant it in the best possible way. But man, do you know the greatest feeling in the world is when you have a chance to walk with somebody for a while and you share your faith out loud with them and they ask you some questions and sometimes they disagree with you. There's a little friction there, but you kind of just keep living your faith out loud. Just keep loving on them. Keep walking. Not ashamed of your pursuit of God. You just keep walking. And then they keep asking more questions, keep asking more questions. And then one day the Holy Spirit opens a door and you get to share your story of what God did in your life. And you know, the best stories are the dirty ones, the ugly ones, the nasty ones, because, man, God brought you from such a long way, didn't he? And you're not perfect, but you're better than you used to be. And so you just tell them all about it, and they look and go, oh, that's interesting. And they walk away, and it kind of crushes your soul a little bit, because you thought, though, as soon as I share my story, they're going to be like, what must I do to be saved? No, they thought she's crazy, didn't they? Yeah. But you keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. And then one day, I say, you know what I can't get away from is that story you told. I can't get away from that smile that you have. I know what's going on in your life. I know that your life is falling apart, but where does that joy come from? You're just asking the question, well, what hope have you got? None. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. And the greatest moment in my life was one day I had been sharing my faith with somebody and trying to live my faith out loud, and I got it wrong when I got it right. And I was just trying to be faithful, and one day this guy followed me into the bathroom. Men, don't do that. And so I knew that he'd been kind of eyeing me all day, and it wasn't a good thing. He was, you know, eyeing me. And he followed me in the bathroom, and I just said, hey, dude, you need help? You step back a little bit. I thought we was about to go around. I throw some hands, and he started crying. He said, Brandon, I don't understand you. You say one thing, and sometimes you live it. I've been watching you. You are generally moving in the same direction, but you got something I don't have. I'm pretty sure it must be this Jesus. So I don't understand all of it. I don't know all about it, but can you help me? And right there, I had an opportunity to lead him to Jesus. And can I tell you, it was the most amazing feeling and the most disgusting place that you can imagine, a men's bathroom. But heaven came down in that moment, and I'm never the same. I'm not over it yet. And I want you to have that feeling. I don't want to just share the gospel myself, but I want to teach you how to share the gospel, because there's never a more amazing moment when you're in a spiritual delivery room and you get to see somebody born again into the kingdom of heaven. That's what I want for you. But it's not going to happen if we treat Jesus and we treat God and we treat the church as a product to be consumed, but instead as a family to be part of. And what would it look like in our lives this year if we said, this year, I'm not going to be a spiritual consumer, I'm going to be a spiritual contributor. And it's going to be the best year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. And my hope for you is that this year you lead someone to Christ and that you bring them to church with you and say, this is my new baby. It's going to freak them out. We're going to love it. Maybe you don't get that far. Maybe you bring them to church with you, because we're going to keep on telling people about Jesus here too. I don't care how you do it. Man, we got a world to reach. And sharing Christ is a team sport. So let's do it together. And it all starts with today. It starts with making a decision. This year, it's going to be my best year ever, because it's going to be my best year spiritually. And so this year, Jesus, I have decided to follow you. I don't know what that prayer needs to look like for you. Next week, we're going to be getting back into, you know, King Jesus, and I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. I don't know what your next step needs to be. But in just a moment, the band's going to lead us in a song of worship, like they always do. What next step do you need to take? Maybe you're in here and you don't know Jesus. Can I tell you, he's your best friend. You just don't know it yet. He's not mad at you. He's not offended at you. He's in love with you. And the whole reason why you're here today, most likely, is just to hear one more time that he has not given up on you and he's not about to. And you can run as far as you want to run. He's going to be right there behind you saying, I still love you. Come home. Come home. You've been trying everything else. Why not try Jesus? In just a few moments, when they lead us through that song, inside your worship guide is a connect card. On the back of it is a prayer that you can pray. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, give your allegiance to him, you will be saved. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe you're in here and there's something else going on in your life and you need to take that next step. That's what this time is going to be for in just a moment. Maybe you just need to lift your hands in worship. Maybe you need to bow and just commit something to the Lord. Maybe you want to go to the back because there's people that's going to be there ready to pray with you about whatever's going on in your life. But what do you need to do to take your next step with Jesus? Let's do business with the Lord together today, because it'll be the best year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, God, that you see us and you know us. And that, God, in this place, you see where every single person is at. Lord, for those who don't know you, and that today is going to be their spiritual birthday, I pray you'll give them the courage to take the next step. Give them the courage to go all in with you, to confess any sin you already know about it, and you're already waiting to forgive. Let today be the day that changes their life forever. And God, for all of us in this place, you know everything that is going on in our life, and you are there and waiting to help us take the next step. What I love about you, God, so much is that you know us and you love us just the same. And as we worship you together, we just give you permission, Holy Spirit. We give you everything we have. We take next steps with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the house? We're going to sing one more worship song. Maybe you need to spend this time just with your hands raised and just committing to God everything. Maybe you need to kneel right where you're at and just give to the Lord something you've been holding on to. Maybe you would like someone to pray with you. We're going to have prayer team in the back. We'd love to pray with you. I'm going to be standing right here. I'd love to pray with you. We'll just take a few moments before the chaos of the world jumps back in again. Just a few moments with Jesus. And let him speak to your heart this morning.